You might like to open your Bible to Isaiah chapter 45. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we do that. So looking to you, that you would help us, we have opened thy love letter, thy word, and God will thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our exercise last time, we're looking at the light of John. You have to turn there. John chapter 17 and verse 21 and verse 23, as we end the upper room discourse in the Gospel of John. And God tells us that we're supposed to understand our existence as saved, if you believe, receive the Lord as your Savior. You are to have your existence on planet Earth in a unique oneness with Him. That's His plan. That's what He said. And that oneness would show up all over the world, because that unique oneness would show God's wonderful grace, His saving grace to you, as you show and evidence His wonderful person. And last time we took time in some detail to look at God. And here, picking up just Isaiah chapter 45, picking up please in verse 21. Tell ye and bring them near. This is God's summoning the world to an audience, to have an audience with Him. Tell ye and bring them near, ye let all that take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? Remember that Lord, proper name, Jehovah, Yahweh. And there is no God, remember that, we did it last time, Elohim. Genesis 1:1, Elohim, over 2,000 times, 2006, whatever it is, in the Old Testament. God, Elohim, plural. There is no God, plural, Elohim, else beside me, a just God, Elohim, and a Savior. There is none beside me, just me. Look unto me, everyone look, and be ye saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. All the ends of the earth. Why? For I am God Elohim, and there is none else. I'm the only Elohim. I, singular, am the plural Elohim. And we did all those things in detail somewhat. So without redoing that, picking up the thought, God is unique. God is awesomely unique. And He is not three gods. He is not three different forms of God. He's not that. And He's not three parts of God. His essence, His nature, His being is one. And yet it's three. Awesomely, wonderfully true. Now, having said that, and the definition, Trinity, Trinity, Trinity and unity, and unity and Trinity, neither confounding the persons, nor separating the substance. God, wonderfully one, and yet awesomely three. And you'll never explain it. You'll never understand it, even in heaven. All you can do is enjoy it. God is unique. So if you're going to sit down, God isn't going, if you need to believe God, you don't, if you're looking to explain Him, you don't have enough forever. You'll never explain Him. He is just plain different. Wonderfully, wonderfully God, who was never created. who always was. And that in itself will send you into a dither. How can something always be? Something has to have a beginning. God doesn't have one. Beginnings in the light of creation. Now, having said that, so in the light of that, God's awesome person, his wonderful person, and as we read in Isaiah, in chapter 45, he is one. I am one. Now, we share together, as we did all of that, and when you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive God in Christ, the Father and the Son. So when I receive God in Christ, I receive God. Hang on to that. The Lord Jesus Christ happens to be the Word, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, is God. And the Word, verse 14, John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word did. So when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I received the Word of God. I received in Christ all the words of God. My oneness is a unique oneness with all the book in front of you. Do you understand that? You say, well, that's for Israel and that dispensation. I agree, I understand. But, God, it's God's word from Genesis to Revelation. And when I receive Christ as my Savior, I received the Word, and I received all the words that God has said. I have, you have, if you're saved, I'll say it again, an awesome oneness with God's Word, with that book. That's why you read all the wonderful things without taking, because you want to go get somewhere. All, 2 Peter 1:20, all the promises of God in Christ are yes, and amen in you. I turn the pages, promise after promise after promise. All of those promises, no matter who they're to, I have them in my heart in Christ. I am one with the God who said all those things, who made all those promises. My oneness involves God, God's Word. Do you understand that? So you read it. Are we going to understand it? No, because it's talking about God. And it takes study and work and pay attention. It can't come once a week and ever get there. You'll never get there. But in the process, we're going to understand God has given his word and we're to believe it. We're to believe God's word. I'm one with it. God said it. I may not understand it all, no doubt. But what I do understand, it is God's word. And I have a unique oneness with the Bible that I read. I don't understand it all. I don't understand some things. But God does. My Father, your Father, if you're saved, it doesn't matter whether you're saved or not, he's your Father. But you just don't know him as Father, that's all. You don't enjoy him. You have to be saved. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so would you go with me if you have that little bit? And just to add to that, if I may, you know, without, again, for time's sake, John 5:39 and that, the Lord Jesus said to them, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which, what? Speak of me. They're all about me. Why? They're my words. What do you know from Luke 24, 27, 44, 45? All the word, the Psalms, the prophets, Moses, the law, everything, all my word is about me. Search the scriptures and find me. So that all comes together. God has given us the Lord Jesus Christ to receive Him as our Savior. He's the Word. The Bible's all about Him. God's outworking in a most wonderful way. And I have a oneness with the Bible. The believing heart has that. How many believers don't even understand that? They read the Bible and put it over here. They don't understand that. I'm one. You don't even know what, well, not you. But people don't even know what oneness is. Well, oneness, how are you one with God? If you're going to answer that, what kind of paragraph would you write right now? I'm going to be one with God. What kind of paragraph would you write to explain that oneness? You see, we don't think about it because we have our world and God has His. That's right. Now, having said that, over to 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2. And in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, picking up if I can, First Corinthians chapter 2, picking up, please, in thought, verse 10. Now, before we do this, you know from John, studying the Gospel of John, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. And His ministry, God's ministry, God the Holy Spirit's ministry, is to make all of the words that God speaks, Genesis to Revelation and all the rest of it, His ministry is to take, and the Lord Jesus said, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of God, is going to go and help you understand all the truth that I've said. So you want to know whose assignment it is to take all of the Bible and all of the truth and all of the wonderment of it? It's the Spirit of God's ministry. That's His ministry. So we have the Bible open, John chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and in verse 10. But God hath revealed the Scripture. Well, I'm going to read verse 9 because it's such a wonderful thing. As it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And all the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. And we likened it. You can probably tell me my own. I use it 1,000 times anyway to say it. It's like it's a ship. Ship pulls up to the dock. They need to do that in L.A. and New York and South. They get the ships to unload them. Here comes the ship into the dock, and the ship's at the dock, and the ship pulls up to the dock to put on board all the load that is needed for the journey. So you put all the load on the ship because you're going to go in that ship down the corridor of time. And therefore, God makes, just like in a ship at sea, if you've been out at sea in the service or something, they have to have all the eggs that you're going to have because there's no more eggs in the middle of the Atlantic. I'll tell you, I was there. There's no eggs out there. No. Everything you want, you better put on board that ship before you leave dock. Now, that's what God does. God takes the human heart beyond all that we could ever ask or think. Verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Now, the Spirit of God's ministry is to take all of that wonderful truth that God has provided in Christ. We are one with His Word, and God is to take all of that truth. The Spirit of God's ministry is to go and take that wonderful, wonderful Word of truth, the truths, and bring them home to your heart. So therefore, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man? Why do we understand each other a little bit? Because we're all humans, we speak the same language, under basically the same culture, and therefore we understand each other reasonably. We do that, humans to humans. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Who knows what God, who's the one that's going to take all the words of truth? God the Spirit, he's the Word. The Spirit of God's going to take the Word, our Lord, and bring all of those truths home to the heart. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. Why? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That you might know. That's his wonderful ministry. We have a unique oneness to enjoy the words of the Bible. So we can read anything in the Bible and know God said it and believe it in the original languages, etc. Now, verse 14, verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth. We aren't going to do it like you would at MIT or something. No, you're not going to do that. No, or UConn. But which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Where am I going to go? Where's God? I got to go. Where am I going to get understanding? Genesis to Revelation is the Word. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Word become flesh. Where am I going to get this understanding? The Spirit of God's going to take from those Genesis to Revelation. He's going to take, that's his ministry. He isn't going to take it from the Encyclopedia Britannica. He isn't going to do that. That's a wonderful thing. He isn't going to take it to Webster. That's a wonderful thing. But you got to go back to the book, because that's where he is helping you understand God's wonderful Word and our working. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so we're to know that. Not only want to be one with the Word of God, but we do have an awesome relationship to God otherwise. Over, if you would please, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter, if you would, and picking up in chapter 1. And we're looking and in 1 Peter, chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3, picking up, please, in verse 18. For Christ also hath once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust. Now why did he die on the cross? That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened and made alive by the Spirit. The purpose of Christ dying on the cross is to get us from death unto life, to bring us to God. How are we brought to God? Now the Lord said in John 17, you're going to have a unique oneness. That's what the world's, you're going to have it. The world isn't going to have it. They aren't even going to know what you're talking about, but you're going to enjoy it. 2 Peter. In 2 Peter, picking up if I can, in chapter 1, going if I can to verse 3. I'll read verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied, not added or subtracted, be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to get to know God to be able to understand Jesus Christ, who makes God knowable, so that we can understand God's wonderful person. Verse 3. According as he hath divine, as the divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So when we got saved in a most wonderful way, we entered into a unique relationship to God in the person of Christ. And the word divine has to do with all that belongs to God. It has to come from God. It belongs to God. So in the process, all of these wonderful things. He's called us to his glory and virtue. Now, having said that, in verse 4, whereby, having been called to a unique relationship to God, according to his wonderful, wonderful power. God is, chapter, verse 3. Verse 4, the result of that relationship, whereby, in that way, because of that relationship, verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Wow. That purpose, by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You are partakers of God's wonderful nature, divine. That which belongs to God, comes from God, owned by God, divine. God's nature, God's essence. What do we know? God is what? One in essence, nature, being. And yet he's three. Three, and yet one, only one. Wow. And God, what are you saying? That we might understand, we ought to be partakers. The word partaker comes from the word common, and then that's the main word, and then you take and develop it into other things. Common, partakers, sharers, sought to have something in common with somebody else. You share in common. You have it and share with us. You're a participant in participating in something in common that someone else has. God has something, and he's made it possible for the believing heart to have a relationship to that something, to God's nature, God's person. Think of John 17:3, where we did. What is eternal life but to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent? To know God, his nature, his essence. But we can't understand it. No, you want to enjoy it. And if you're sitting down, people say, well, when I figure God out, you don't have enough forever to figure it out. And you don't want to be in the wrong place to figure it out either, eternally. You don't want to be in the wrong place to figure it out, to know it. Therefore, God, this unique knowledge, this unique relationship that we are here, partakers of God's wonderful, wonderful person in a most wonderful, wonderful way of his nature, his essence, his being. Now let's take a little exercise how that goes. How does it go, God? Who do you know? I know this person, and you know that person, and you know some people that are good people. But then there's your what? Your knowledge of God. Ah. But God isn't like anybody else. No. No, he isn't. No. That's awesome. That's awesomely awful. Awesome. Well, God. That's why if you just have a Jesus with a little J and have a cross and he died, you're missing out. You're missing out. Christ died for me. Boop. What else do you know? Nothing. And you're never going to go anywhere. I'll tell you now. Now, so in the process, because you can't, no more than you can go. Think if you were a Muslim and said Allah. Where are you going to go with Allah? Allah says something. Allah never says anything. Fate, destiny. Where's Allah? I don't know. What's the opinion? You're going to be with Allah. Allah will do. Allah, what is Allah? Ah, God has made it so you can know him. Watch. We have the word Godhead. Godhead. The wonderful, wonderful God. That which belongs to God. That which comes from God. That which is part of his nature. God is, in other words, Godhead is because he's God. God, wonderful, wonderful nature, being, he's God. God, all that belongs to God, comes from God, shows God. Wow. Now, having said that, let's put that together. Over, if you would please, in your Bible, over to the book of Romans and chapter 1. Now, what do we know about the world? Romans in chapter 1. And you will note, Romans in chapter 1, picking up, please. If I can, I'll read verse 19 for a little context. Because that which may be known of God is manifest, made clear, public, plain, simple. Manifest where? In the heart. How can that be known? Because God hath showed it unto them. So we said that 1,000,000,000,000 times. God, God never told me. There's no way to be born on planet Earth in the middle of the desert, on the top of a mountain, without you knowing God. God makes you know him. Now, what you do with him, little kid knows. It's just, what are you going to do with him? Well, I look at my parents, I look at my world around me, and they don't know. So what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, what I'm understanding must not be real. Because I don't see God. I don't smell God. They don't see God. All they see is totem poles and mummies and Buddhas and everything. All got all kinds of things. That's all they see. They don't see God. So we all quit. But, verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, all God's wonderful creation, even his eternal power. Obviously, if you got the new NASA space thing out there and near Mars somewhere out there, buzzing around, taking pictures, and you've seen some of them, and the pictures are there, and they're pictures of what? They're pictures of galaxies that we haven't even seen from this part. The Hubble didn't see it. So now we got to go, God made all them. Power. The power, and, verse 20, and eternal power and Godhead, his deity. That God is the author. Why? Because God showed himself to you, and you look around, and everything says God made it, and then what do you know? Godhead, you know God. That's what you do. That which belongs to God comes from God. God, the Godhead. So the world knows God in his essence, nature, being, three in one, one in three. They know, but they don't want to know. So they don't know. And so they're all over the place. You know, churches and groups and people all over the place. Well, that's on the negative side. Or if you would please, to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And please note, picking up, please. Remember, this is Paul ministering to the great city of Athens. They are very religious. Verse 22, 17, 22. And then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive in all things you are too superstitious. There's idols all the way down the street. Everywhere you go, there's idols of somebody, some god. And every time you hear of another god, you make an idol. And so as you go down, it's a wonderful walk to the gods. You see all the gods. But you got one statue, said Paul, to the unknown god. Because you don't know him. You got all these gods, but you don't know any. You don't know the God. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, etc., neither worshipped with men's hands, etc. as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life, breath, and all things. In other words, he's the creator, which we just read in Romans 1. They don't want to believe. What's Paul trying to help the Athenians to understand? Verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation. God scattered them in Genesis 10, 11 and 10, all over the world, as it were, the nations. They're all there with their power and their politics and religion, etc. They're all there. Verse 27, with all their stuff. Verse 27, that they should seek. What's the message to them? That they should seek the Lord, if haply, if perchance, they might feel to be able to be encouraged. Think of a blind man, and you get it, a blind person, and all they can do is what? Feel. That's all they can do is feel. That's how they do. Feel. And even if you are blind, you can feel after me. And you'll find me, even if you're blind. I'm right there. I'm not far away. All you gotta do is be blind, and they find me now, if I can. In verse 27, that they should fear, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live, verse 28, and move and have our being, as certain also as of your own poets have said, for we are all his offspring. God made us. So that you guys know something, you just don't put the pieces together, and all you've got all these idols, the offspring of God in an awesome, awesome way. Wow. Now, where do we come in as believers? Where does a believer come in? Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. And Colossians in chapter 2. May I pick up, please? You'll catch it if I can. And by the way, may I go to verse 6 to remind you what we're supposed to be doing. As you have therefore received Christ the Lord, as you so walk in him. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them he gave you the right, the privilege to become children of God. And just like you received him as your Savior, John 1:16, you received grace upon grace upon grace, and you exercise what? How did you get saved? I just received him. How are you going to live your life? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. By the same way, you're going to trust God the same as you received him. You're going to receive God's wonderful person and grace. That's how you're going to go. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Wonderful. Now, sliding down. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, and the tradition of men, after the rudiments, the elements of the world, and not after Christ. Give you a whole lot of baloney about stuff. It's wonderful, wonderful thinking, but it isn't true. It isn't going to work. It isn't going to work. That's why they're forever trying to figure out. That's why we're going out there in space, to see if we could go out there in one of those 3 trillion miles away galaxy and maybe find some water. We'll go out there, maybe find a bug. Maybe we'll find somebody out there. We're trying to figure where we came from. Where we came from. Okay. Good. Verse 9. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, all that belongs to God, all that comes from God, God in himself and for himself, because he's God, bodily. Christ died on the cross. He went to the cross in body. Christ, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. So you want to know, God showed himself in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem of Judea, so you could see God. touch God. And you could do that, but you couldn't do that. You can't do that now. He's invisible. But God has made it possible in Christ to know that. The unsaved will see him at the great white throne judgment. We're in his presence, and we are in his presence. We are going to see him at his soon reappearing now. Picking up, I can, the Godhead. And we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. We are partakers of his divine nature. His essence is being, his nature, he's one, wonderfully, wonderfully three and one. And we're partakers of that God's unique, awesome person. His fullness. We are, verse 10, full in his fullness. Ephesians chapter 1, as you'd guess. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and God hath put, 1 and 22, God hath put all things under his feet, Christ's feet, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. What church? That's the believing believers that are sitting together, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, if I fill up everything that's full, Christ is full. He gives partakers, sharers in common of his awesome nature. That's what we're to be sharing, enjoying his wonderful, wonderful person. Are we going to ever get it all? No, no. What we're going to do is marvel in the wonder of it, that to know him, to know God. I'm not looking for some genie or some puppet or some power to take itself. No, we're in the presence of God. And that's awesome. And I'm looking for God as you grow and know. You're looking, understandably, we're looking for God in his awesome essence, being, his oneness in three in one. We're looking for God to be our God and our Savior. We're to know him. We're to be one with him in a most wonderful way. We share his fullness, not skimpy, full. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians. In chapter 5, may I pick up, please? Remember, we're talking about his body. The church is his body. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish, etc. Verse 29, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. In other words, if someone hits your finger with a hammer, you're going to yell out, because that's personal. That's personal, personal, personal. You know personal things. So what? Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. No, it's personal. The relationship is personal. You ought to know it. You ought to know it. It's a wonderful relationship. You have to go by faith and enter into it and trust God. And you've got to do so. And in doing so, remember, in doing so, you're going to have to be conscious of the fact in your background, whatever your background, why believers don't grow. We got backgrounds. We're raised all kinds of ways, and we have our backgrounds, and we're locked into them because we're raised in them. We're locked into what we do, how we think. We do it. When you get saved, God crucified, terminated, all that you were yesterday and forever. since the day you were born, and God makes you a new creature in Christ, and you're new. The old is what? Passed away. All has become new. Now you have to understand that, and you have to understand, you don't want to get caught up, this is my background. Your background and mine will never get there. God makes you a new creature. And you got to understand, I'm changing. Think of first, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but 2 Corinthians 3:18, change from one image to, we're changing. I'm growing. I've become a son of God. You'll become a child, a son of God. When? The moment you believe. Are you living like that? Are you living? I think it's Queen Victoria, somebody's over there, Queen a long time. And if I was her son, you know, I can't walk around homeless out there. I'm supposed to what? I'm a son. Then be a son. But I'm not. Get rid of it. You don't try to keep living your life the way you've done it with your background. Rescue yourself. How? Die. Christ crucified it. Don't play with it. Don't mumble and get rid of it. So what? You can live and exercise the relationship. Otherwise, you're trying to have the relationship over here, and you talk about it and pray about it, but you never live it. You never practice it. You don't believe it. Get rid of this and get over here. If you don't get over here, you're still here. I'm going to church. I'm a bishop, a deacon, and a whatever you want to be. You're still over here. You got to get on the other side in the sense of thinking. I'm not that anymore. So I don't, no matter how we shared that the other day, no, I don't want to get tied up. So many things could be terribly bad. But God rescues you. He doesn't have a big discussion about it. He just terminates it and starts new. It's wonderful. I got a quick boy, the Trinity. Anyway, now, having said that, over if you would please, to 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, and you will notice, please, in 1 Corinthians, if I can, chapter 1, and in verse 9. Now, I can't even read that. You have to go directly to verse 9. Verse 9. God is faithful. He is faithful to be who he is and what he says. God is absolutely faithful. By whom? By whom? By means of? Account of? How are you called? By God called you. How did God get to you? Through his Son. God called you through his Son. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. See, whom? You were called. You were called by his Son and you received him as your Savior. Now, what were the Corinthians to be wonderfully excited about with all of their problems? They had to get rid of them. They had to change from what they were and what they knew and their backgrounds and everything. Had to drop it, get free. If you don't want to get free, then you'll always stay where you are. You aren't going to go anywhere. And God will take you home. I'm not saying you're not saved. You're just not going to get there where you could be now. Why? Because I'm a son. You're saved. I'm saved. I have a wonderful Savior. Therefore, verse 9, God is faithful by whom you are also called into the fellowship. The word fellowship has to do with communion, fellowship, partakers. Remember, we're partakers of his divine nature. We're partakers of his divine nature. We participate in a relationship to God, fellowship, union, communion, a wonderful, 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 wonderful belonging to God, in which he authorizes it. He's the one that made it possible. The Lord Jesus Christ participates with God the Father and God the Son and in his perfect humanity and God the Holy Spirit. He participates. And he's made it possible for what? He called the believing heart to, in Christ, to enter into that same participation in the same enjoyment of that fellowship. That's what he called them to do. A wonderful, wonderful thought, which belongs to the Son, in which he participates, in which he makes possible, in which he is going to make it possible for us to participate. He's the, think of Sunday school, the great high priest. He's going to go and make it possible for us in a most wonderful way to participate, in which the believing heart is to be a joint participation. A joint participation. Think of, you don't have time to turn there. Think of Romans 8:17-9. We are priest. We're not only priest, we're joint heirs. I mean, heirs. We're not only heirs, priest heirs. We're not only heirs, we're joint heirs. Romans 8:17. Joint heirs. That means that everything he made possible by his death is for me. That doesn't mean I have it. No, it means I am in the middle of all of those benefits, all of those wonderful things. So then, when I think of Ephesians, all that, where does all this come from? My fellowship, my wonderful fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, a participant. Pray without ceasing. We're looking to God. Communion of the Holy Ghost. We have the Lord's communion. There's the word communion. Communion, fellowship. When you have the Lord's communion, that's the word fellowship, partnership. That's the word. Wow. We have a unique, we take the unleavened cracker and the bread, and we take it. We participate. God wants us to participate in our relationship. And that's what he's looking for. And that's just the start of oneness that we're supposed to be enjoying. Do you understand? How many enjoy that? No, I got my life to live. I got my problems. That's what you live with. And you don't enjoy it. Yes, there is, you know. And you don't have to have a big special uniform on to say that you're a general or a son. What you need to do is have a wonderful, wonderful heart that just is going to go and trust God. And God, I want to change. I want everything that I'm supposed to be. Well, I'm, make believe I'm, how old? 35. I'm 35 years old. What am I going to do in my 35 years? Leave them, as it were, and go on to your 36th year as a child of God and enjoy it. And you're going to keep changing. I'm not trying to live my life. You live your life and I'll live my life. No, nope. I don't care what you live. I'm going to live my life in Christ. Well, Christ in you, the wonderful expectancy, anticipation of glory. Well, I didn't do much. I'm sorry. Do you understand a little bit? And you shall enjoy a oneness, John 17:21, that I have with my Father. And how many believers even come close to even dreaming of that? And that's my heritage. I'm joined here. Well, I got to quit. Anyway, thank you for your patience. And I hope you got a little bit. Inch by inch. God help us. Perhaps we can look to the Lord, our Father and God, deal with our heads and hearts and help us understand a little bit. God, we get caught up in, we're just caught up in the habits and the way we think and how we feel, and we're trying to adapt and adopt your wonderful, wonderful grace and mercy that you've made it possible for us to know you, to adopt it into our system. And our system can never handle it. No, our system was crucified so that we can enjoy you. So our God and Savior, deal with us. Thank you very, 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 very much. In Christ's name, amen.